Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is GAN number 2607. That's 2607. Tonight we're going to have two people on tonight as survivor professionals. And the one that we have listed in our bio, first of all, is Hilda Thomasine Wren. And she has quite a bio. She's also, a professional at what she does. And then we have our own Pamela Lockridge from Louisiana, and she's one of our people. She's a board member also, and she has her master's and so forth. So it's going to be a very good show, and they're going to be splitting it, you might say. One's going to speak about children. That's going to be Pamela, and I think maybe that Hilda Thomasine Wren is going to be speaking about the adults, or how maybe it affects you into adulthood. We're speaking about child abuse. This is what we do here. Okay. Now, first of all, I want to read the NASCA mission statement. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so from two different specific... two different ways. I can't talk tonight. Anyway, number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Okay, we know this. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues of involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. One thing I'm very heavy on is prevention, and if we could use a lot more prevention in our families, we might have some less problems, because always remember this, pedophiles / sex offenders do not like educated people or children, okay? They will go to someone else. They'll go to another prey. That's P-R-E-Y, all right? All right, enough of that. But that's very true. So tonight what I want to do is we have quite a crew here of people calling in. I'm very happy about that. And but I will give out the telephone number anyway. It's 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And a lot of people, they listen on their phones, they listen on their computers, and they do call in. And right now we do have a nice amount of people here. So, first of all, let me introduce Hilda. Okay, I'm going to open up her mic and go from there.
Good evening.
There you are, Hilda.
Bryn, yes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be speaking tonight about the emotional emergency kits. I will take the list for the adults, and my cohort, Pamela, will do the list for children.
Okay, well, that sounds very, very interesting. Shall I? I'm going to open up her mic, too. Her mic is open. Okay, good. And, well, how would you like to start this out? Go ahead, because you are the professional, Hilda. Okay, Thomasine. And I'm going to let you just open up from where you want to start.
Okay. I wanted to say that it's important for us to take care of our mental health every day. Just like with your physical health, you should practice a variety of good habits, including getting enough sleep, exercising, eating nutritious foods, and spending time with your family and friends, practicing relaxation techniques, and more. All of these activities affect the feel-good biochemical in your brain and will help you develop a sense of calm and well-being. Now, this kit is like it's like a list of things that you know what you want to do in case you have like a panic attack or something has happened and you need to talk to someone right away or you just don't know what to do. So Pamela and I are going to share some tools mm-hmm. that you could use if something should come up in that area of your life. Mm-hmm. Now, I have for adults, the first thing is grounding stones, like a small, medium, large stone that you like to feel on. You know, sometimes we can find these stones in little shops. And you just hold it in your hand. If you get upset and rub on it, and sometimes that can just calm you down and takes your mind off of what's going on. And if you need to, you can just put it in both hands and rub it together as opposed to just one. Now, Pamela, do you have something for a child could do? Is Pamela's mic on?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't have my mic on. I'm sorry.
You're on this end. Go ahead.
Yeah. What brings to mind when you're talking about those things is how parents can self-regulate their emotions so that they can be there for their children, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, so if a parent's stressed out, you know, or a parent, you know, not getting enough sleep or a parent, you know, they can actually end up taking that out on their children and causing emotional damage to their children, okay? So all this has to do with child abuse. Some parents are abusing their children, and it's not even, like, intentional, right? I mean, a lot of child abuse is intentional, but some of it's not intentional. Say you have a mentally ill adult in the family, you know, they can unintentionally damage their child. So the things that you're talking about are ways for adults to learn how to regulate their emotions so it doesn't affect their children in a deterrent way, you know, in a inappropriate way, I should say. So, verbally, you know, we need to tell our children things that validate them and make them feel good and things like that. You know, and that's the same thing with adults. They need to do self-talk and self-love and, you know, basically the same things as an adult would do, they can do with their children. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point you brought up about the adults being mentally healthy so the child can be mentally healthy. The family
yes.
as well.
Yes, that's true. Now, another thing adults can do also is make a list of people, very close friends or maybe a therapist or someone that you feel close to, that you can talk to them about the situation, whatever it may be, and they will understand what's going on, not to fix it per se, but to at least listen to you and be that support person.
Absolutely. The child, too, is, you know, the person that's the adult, you know, if they don't accept themselves or if they've been abused themselves as a child, they don't really have the skills to parent a child, and that's how they inadvertently or consequently you know, end up abusing their own child. And one of the first things they need to do is to make the child feel like they're, you know, like that they're good people, you know, that how they are is fine with them. You know what I'm saying? That they're acceptable as they are. They don't need to change. They don't have to look a certain way. They don't have to act a certain way, you know, as long as they're not doing anything really bad, you know. But validate and make them feel, you know, make them feel wanted.
And loved, especially.
Yeah.
Okay, for adults, I say, and I've done this myself several times, is sit down and get in touch with your feelings. Find out or ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And if you can't talk to someone, at least get a journal or something to write with. Write down your feelings and what you'd like to say to that person when you do get in touch with them. I think that is so important for people to know what's going on with them if they can take their time and figure it out and write it down. Sometimes that will calm you down, just writing it as opposed to telling someone.
Yeah. It's like getting it out from inside to the outside, right? So you can see it and deal with it appropriately. So do we want to go to the panel and see what people are saying?
Yes, please do that.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the panel. I know that Thomasine is having dental problems, and she probably doesn't feel too well tonight. So anyway, absolutely. And let's go to Peter from Ontario. I'm going to open up his mic. I'm going right down the list here, okay? So we have Peter from Ontario. Peter, do you have any comments that you'd like to make from what you've just heard?
This is a little new, so if you can skip me and I can listen to more, and I might think of something.
Okay.
Sorry.
I understand. That's all right. No problem. Well, maybe just listen. You might learn something. It's about, you know, bringing, it's like self-care, okay? Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I know you listen to me. Listen to me. It's about self-care, okay? Self-care for adults and self-care for children. So ways to make us feel better during this time, this world that we're living in, and also, too, you know, just in general, you know? But if you want to listen, go ahead, and that's fine. I'll put you on hold and come back to you later. Maybe you can have a statement you want to make or whatever. Okay, let's go down to Doug from Maryland. Okay, I'm going to open up his mic.
Oh,
okay,
hi.
Okay, Doug.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Just struggling with flashbacks, things that happened when I was a child, 47, and things that happened when I was 35.
Well, flashbacks, that's something that many of us, you know, do, unfortunately, have suffered with or do still suffer with. And one thing you have to understand about flashbacks is a lot of times these flashbacks are not as terrible as you think. It's good to be with someone when you're having a flashback. Do you have a therapist?
Yes. Yeah, I talk to her twice a week, which is very helpful.
Right. And the idea is to write down your flashback and examine it. And then when you speak to her, talk to her about the flashbacks. A lot of times it's your mind trying to tell you something about what happened, and that's why it's called a flashback, you know, in the past. And a lot of times you can learn from those flashbacks. You just have to have a good mental attitude about it that, hey, my mind is finally telling me something about maybe that was hidden in the past, but it's now coming out. But it's very good to have someone like a therapist so you can discuss it with them. I'm going to go down to Bill, have him say hello. Bill is our founder, and he's on right now. Go ahead, Bill.
Carol, thanks for calling on me. I have a response to the original question that Hilda asked Pamela to address, which is she suggested that the first thing she uses is a stone, a favorite stone, maybe you carry around in your pocket. I've certainly seen people do that. And sometimes it's a flat stone. It feels good in your hand, you know, and it centers you. Well, children need that too. So Hilda's question is, what can we give to children or suggest for children? Again, a way to kind of center them. And I would say that children won't do it themselves, but we can create things for them and then teach them. This is what prevention is. Basically, it's us teaching children. And one thing we can give them is some kind of safe space. Now, for a lot of us, it was our room. You know, if we grew up in a family where the family could afford to give us a bedroom, sometimes it's the bedroom, even if it's a shared bedroom. It's a quiet place where you can go and you can kind of be yourself and you can go into your childhood and do all kinds of stuff. And so that would be a suggestion for something a parent could give a child, a space that's kind of comfortable for them to go and chill out and just be themselves. And, of course, right along with that needs to be, you know, the admonition that they can always come to the parent, and that can be their safe space. You know, that if you have something that's bothering you, come to Hilda, come to Mommy, you know, because there's nothing you can bring up to me that I'll be shocked about, you know, worried about, and I'm always going to love you no matter what. We can talk these things out, you know, that kind of thing. So I would say the safe space, whether it's a physical space or an emotional space with a parent or another adult, that would be my suggestion, Hilda, for what children could use as a first step to kind of centering themselves.
Thank you for answering that.
Well, I think, too, that the children have to have a really good rapport, you know, with their parents. And if ever there was a time that children need to feel safe with their parents is now, okay? This works well in houses and in homes where, you know, everybody gets along and there is no dysfunction, you know. But getting back to the stone, I want to say something about that. Now, with me, people will see me 99.9% with a cross on, okay? And it can be any kind of cross. But if I start to feel uneasy about something, I will, I wear it around my, you know, I have it around my neck. I wear a cross every single day just about. I will grab for that cross. And that's sort of like my safety net, my safety stone, and it just makes me feel better, okay? So everyone, if they could find something, you know, they talk about the kids with their blankies, you know, when they're children, what do they do? A lot of times they'll grab for their little blankie. It's just sort of like all in the same concept where children or adults, okay, need something to comfort them during that moment of stress that they may be going through. It could be anything. Or maybe they're just feeling a little bit lost or a little bit sad. And so they grab for their blanket, or if they have a stone. In my case, I have a cross, you know, and that's what I have to say about that. Okay.
So do we have any more guests on?
No, actually, we don't right now. Mm-mm.
Okay. So
I will give out
the
number. Let me give out the number one more time, okay? That's 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Okay, go ahead, Hilda. I don't want to call you Hilda or Thomasine. You want me to
It's either one is good. Thomasine is fine.
Okay, Thomasine it is. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to say that when I used to get upset and I was around 12 years old, and I could not express myself. Sometimes we can get so upset, we don't even have the words in our mind as to what's going on. So I would take and get a nice warm bath with some bubbles. And I would sit in there, especially if I had to cry. If you're in the bathroom, in the bathtub, the door is closed, and you can sit until you calm yourself down. Water is very calming for me, and it can be calming for others as well. So, Pamela, do you have anything that might be approximately the same for a child?
Okay, some of the for children, you know, can be teaching them about different emotions. You know, they need to learn about them so that they, when they have them, you know, if the parent tries to shut their emotional needs down, you know, then they don't feel accepted. They start having self-doubt. Children begin to isolate. You know, they feel frustrated. You know, they feel shame and fear. And all these are detrimental type feelings that if they don't get a hold on, you know, it stresses them out. And they begin to hide. You know, some children have places they go and hide. I don't know, it sounds like you, Hilda, kind of in a way, you went to hide there. I know that, you know, I know we've all on this call been abused as children. So, you know, I don't know if that was how you self-soothed during the time that you were going through your abuse. But a lot of the children's behavior is driven by emotions. It's not driven by thought, you know. And so when they can't have emotions, you know, it shuts down trust, and they just don't know what to do with their emotions, you know. And then we wonder why they act out when they get a little older, because they've never learned how to get past frustration, shame, and feeling anger, you know?
So, I'm sure that children probably, excuse me for cutting you off, but children probably, I know that I did, I can only speak for myself, but if I was at school, sometimes I would say things out of, you're not supposed to raise your hand when you talk. Instead of me raising my hand, I just blurt out whatever I wanted. And that would send me to the principal's office a lot of times,
right,
if you did it enough times. So that way I got a chance to go someplace where it's quiet. Now, I didn't know that I was doing that at the time, but as I think back, I'm sure I needed that peace, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when children hear loud screaming in the home, at each, you know, when parents are going through domestic violence or something and the children hear loud screaming, you know, I mean, you know, that's actually teaching that child that that's how you deal with problems. You scream, you know?
Yes.
And that, yeah, and they grow up thinking that. And I'm sure Carol can attest to that. I don't know if Carol became a screamer, but I think she watched screaming going on in her home.
And Carol watched a lot more than screaming. Yeah. And sometimes, well, actually, I was like a statue. See, you know, sometimes kids take on a role when there's so much domestic violence in the house. And my brother, who was 5 years my senior, would hide under the covers, but he had been hit by my so-called bio father, okay? Whereas with me, I wasn't hit, but I would run downstairs thinking, maybe I can help Mommy, maybe I can help her. But I would stand there frozen because I was so frightened at what I was seeing. So I wouldn't go and hide somewhere or go under my covers like my brother did. Instead, I would just stand there and want so badly to help. And then when my crazed father would leave the house, I would go and tend to my mother and wipe the blood from her face and talk to her. It was really horrific. Now, a lot of children, unfortunately, go through this with the domestic violence and all that. And some children do hide, and other children are more like myself, but when the object, the main player, as we call it, gets out of the way, then you can attend. All of a sudden, you're not a statue anymore because he's gone. The monster is gone, right? And then you go and help the mother. Unfortunately, that's a bad position for children to be put in because they're taking on sort of like, excuse me, an adult role. excuse me, to go and tend to, you know, the mother. And when children see things like this, since you brought up domestic violence, when you see things like this, when children see things like this, it is a very horrifying, horrific thing for them to witness. And there goes your childhood even right there, long before sexual abuse or any of the other abuses come into it. Domestic violence in itself is very, very bad. It can be.
Well, another thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if anybody has any kind of mention on this, and I've learned about this recently more, is and I'm doing some research on it, is women who abuse their sons, okay? And that's not talked about a whole lot. And, you know, people put their mothers are supposed to be nurturers, okay? More so than the dads, right? They stay home with the child and they nurture that child. And, you know, we need to see what we can do in a way to help more victims of mother abuse, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well,
Carol, have you
gone
across it much? Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, I know about that. I can answer a little bit on that, and I know that you know, Thomasine does not feel so hot. And but here's the deal. That is the least of the abuses in the family because I've done research on that, and it's not likely. I mean, it does happen, of course. And it's an interesting topic. It's something that should be looked into, where the mother abuses the son. Of course, the first one that is the most abusive is the father with the daughter, okay? And they did a huge study on this, a huge study with many, many people. And in that frame of people that they used, you know, it was like 75% the worst, okay? And it might have been 1,000 people that they used. They weren't specific about that as far as the numbers. But the point, it was 75% in that group. Now, then next came brother and sister, and that was 14%. And then next came the mother and son, and that was a much smaller percentage. But it does happen. And it's something that should be looked into, I agree.
So you don't have much to say on, I mean, you haven't come in contact with many survivors, special guests that have come on to talk about that.
There's been a few, maybe a few. But, you know, on the other hand, yes, I can certainly talk about what they went through. Many times they became frightened, you know, as a child, it was a very frightening thing. I don't care how much grooming was going on. Sometimes they're groomed, sometimes it's volatile, like in any of the abuses that we speak about. It can be either or. But with the mother-son situation, you know, mommy would be very married. You know, she might have two or three other children. They might all be girls. She doesn't touch them. But with the son is special. Okay, so she's going to treat him in a special way and maybe buy him little gifts on the side and say, don't tell your sisters, don't tell your sisters, all right? I buy enough of them anyway, things like that. And then she might start caressing his hair and caressing his arms, and just to make him feel special and tell him how smart he is, you know, how handsome he is, whatever, which ways, any of the adjectives you want to use to make that child feel special. But then, unfortunately, it doesn't stay that way, because as time goes by, and they have all the time in the world. You see, this is in the home. The child could be of any age, okay, the son. And so, therefore, you know, no one's going anyplace. So it might be, and they can be very, very, with the pedophiles, they can have all the time in the world to work on their prey if they have access to them, like in the family. So it could something that could take a month, it could take almost a year before the actual act happens. And what happens to a child, and with the boys, what happens in that sense is as they get a little bit older, they're going to shy. They're going to be very bashful. You'll see them being terribly bashful of girls even. And in school, they're the ones that aren't even going to be, you know, very interested in girls, because they've been so abused by their mother, and they're very confused because their mother is telling them, you know, throughout parts of their life that this is normal. This is mommy's way of showing you how special you are, okay? So this does happen. And then when kids get a little bit old and they have their peers, they go out with girls and all this other stuff, they too will go out with girls, but they won't feel the same because mommy's screwed their brain up so badly. And I'm not going to say that they are actually wanting to be with the mother, no. But they don't know how to be with the girl because they didn't have the normal range of time to learn how to be with girls. It's all about, you know, the social development of the boys and the girls in school, how they interact with each other. Boys who are abused by the mother will many times not interact, okay, in the same way, or maybe not at all, because, you know, they have mommy on their brain, and mommy has, you know, made them feel special. So they very much need help. It may be the lowest of the percentages, you know, in that 1,000, I'm going to say 1,000 group, but still in all, it does happen. What the overall percentage would be, I couldn't tell you. I'm just looking at the one study that was done, and that's how it affected them.
Yeah.
Well,
I can
imagine. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Hilda. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can imagine, as you said, Carol, that can be very confusing because the child has been used to an adult, the mother making these advances on him, and yet when he goes out in the world to maybe at least socialize with women, he can't because of the age difference, you know,
right.
And who was taking advantage of him as a kid.
Exactly.
So he's not going to perform the same way.
It's very, very confusing to a child to have this happen, to a boy. Okay, it's very, very confusing. And it's a shame when it does happen. The child very much needs help. The mother needs help and a kick in the butt as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, so, I mean, this is a way of ruining your son. And many times it goes on. It can go on to some degree into, you know, teenage years. And I'll give you an example. My brother got his first vehicle at the age of 13. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. And my stepfather kept his mouth shut because he was afraid of my mother. She was a narcissist. And just to keep peace, okay, he would go along with anything that she said. So we always owned big businesses. I'm one of those, you know, more rare. They came from a wealthy, 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 wealthy family. So we had lots of property. So my brother had a very, very long driveway to drive his vehicle up and down, you see. So that was his toy. God.
Well,
Carol?
So that's what happens. Yeah.
So you think he had a relationship with your mother? No.
I've often wondered. We all know that she hated me, but that was for other reasons too, because I was my mother had gotten abused as well. She was raped, just like me, but kept it a silent secret. And I didn't know it until she had passed away. Then my stepfather told me. Now, those two were too close. I mean, I wasn't a stupid kid at all. And I saw certain types of behavior that I always thought was weird, but I couldn't say for sure. But I think maybe there may have been something going on, yes.
Mm-hmm. You want to go down the panel?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see, we have, let's see if Doug has anything that he wants to share. Doug, your mic is open. Go ahead. Doug, are you there? He's open on my end. In fact, the only one that's closed is Peter, because he didn't want to share tonight. He said he just wants to listen. Well, let me go back to Peter just for the heck of it and see if he would like to say something. I'll go to Bill. Peter, you're hearing what I'm saying. Is there something that you'd like to make a comment about?
I have been listening to it, and a lot of stuff that does trigger the mind, on how parents treat their children. Hilda, is it?
Yes.
Is it? I was just a boy when my parents were working and doing their own leisure time after work. They would drop myself and my sister to my cousin's place. But, you know, if my cousin would had lured me, you know, and he'd say, I'll do this, come up to my bedroom, something I want to show you, and do this. And to me at that time, you know, as a child, I wouldn't have had any idea. Yeah, was I doing right or was I doing wrong? Because I did not know what was going to happen. But but the long story short of it all, I was lured and the molestation had started. Now, for me as a child, I'd always found myself being under the house. Like, being in Australia, our houses are on stumps. So my place of comfort, where I felt more safe, I didn't need no stone. I didn't need people around me. I had my comfort zone, and my comfort was being under the house, playing with my toy cars. But there was other distractions, and that was drawing pictures on the stumps and on the ceiling floor underneath. But I just feel that perhaps, you know, that today now with the pandemic, parents being a little bit more cautious and being more alerted on what's going on about with their children today. I mean, there's a lot of abuse. I have been hearing about it. Especially, someone that was in the afternoon group had mentioned that there was a case somewhere in the States today or the other day in regards to a child being murdered by the parent. It's disheartening. I mean, what's the child done? The child what? Did something that was real tiny that was wrong, but the child has to suffer the consequences. And what's that do with the parents? Oh, they go into jail for the rest of their lives. So where does that leave the child? Six foot underground. you know, I'm very fortunate that I've never been in a threat in that kind of a position of being killed. I've been in threatening situations with weapons, but I just can't see how, I just don't see the sense why parents today treat their kids the way they do. It's disheartening for me. I hear it on the news, read it, you know, what do the parents get out of it? What's the enjoyment they get out of doing what they do to their children? I think a little bit more harsh in criminal law needs to be enforced, if that makes any sense at all. In case you're wondering where I'm calling from, I'm from Ontario, Canada, but I am an Australian. So. Anyway, back to you guys.
Thank you for sharing. I think that most parents that molest their children or take advantage of them are mentally ill, but it doesn't make it right. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to go to the next tool we can use in this kit.
Well, you didn't. You're skipping me here. I'm going to interject my response to the question you asked, which was you had indicated that as an adult you might do something like take a bath to relax, so forth. And, you know, we don't actually want to have children take baths by themselves. That can be dangerous. So that's not one I would recommend. But there's other stuff that a child can do. And they were touched on briefly by one of our respondents who went under the porch. That was Peter from just now. You know, I went under my parents' bed, and I would hang out under their bed. I'd be looking up at the box spring underneath, you know. I said before, I needed a space that was completely mine, that was kind of private and where nobody would bother me. In fact, they didn't even know I was under there, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously, but they didn't. And so that was a place where I could go. So that's a place to go, sort of answers more the first question than the second. But the second question, what can they do? There are, I think, a lot of things that we can give permission for our children to do ahead of time, so that they know they're not violating any rules when it comes time to do something that's aside from the problem they're having, gets them out of the problem they're having. And I'm thinking of stuff like activity, outside activity. Now, we have a lot of kids who, unfortunately, we tell them they have to stay indoors all the time. A lot of us will remember we were kind of free to roam our communities. In my case, until the lights came on, really, it gave me a lot of space to do that. Now, I know today's a different world, but still a sense of space that your child might do. Maybe it's using coloring books or reading or something like that, something that's more private and quiet, but that can take you out of yourself, because both those things definitely do that. To be honest, we had a line in the Blossom episodes that I was associated with for years, and it said it was aliens had come to Earth, and they said to each other, "Why is it that humans have forgotten the answers to peace on Earth?" And he said, "I don't know, because coloring's worked for us for a long time. Coloring books, it really does center you." Anyway, so that would, I don't want to not answer the topic that the co-host has brought up, and that would be one of my answers. Okay. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'll say something to that too. You know, a lot of times children have hidden talents. Okay. I'm a singer. Believe it or not, my voice may sound crackly at times, but that's because I talk too much. I'm on the phone in the AM and so forth.
Who, you?
And Yeah, I had to sing happy birthday to someone the other day, didn't I? Oh, yes, I did. I put a little jazz in it at the end to Pamela's husband. Yeah, but that was just clowning around. I could sing a lot better than that, but I love to sing is what I'm trying to say. And I discovered that because, you see, if there's creativity in the family, okay, Tom is saying, like, if parents can learn how to be creative with their children, you know, to get them going with certain things, find their talents, get closer to their children, at younger ages, like, for instance, at the age of four years old, I was singing at the Hudson River in the, well, it was a tavern-type, family-type tavern place. My mother would put the silly hoop dress on me. I think that's the only time she bought me a dress, I swear to God. And they had, it was like a lampshade. That was the style. It had a piece of wire going around. Does anybody remember the hoop dresses on the show? I don't know. But anyway,
sure.
The point is, to you, all right. Well, my mother would make me sing, not little girl songs, though, okay? Remember, she's a narcissist and all this other stuff, and she wouldn't want her daughter up there singing because that'd be a reflection on her. But I like Harbor Lights. I don't know if anyone knows that old song, Harbor Lights.
Oh, yes, I know that. Yeah.
There you go. Yes. My mother would have me singing Harbor Lights, and during the week I would have to learn with the piano. That's why I learned how to play the piano, too. I play by ear anyway, to sing, and you know, I wouldn't touch the piano at the tavern. But I was a singer, but they would use the piano in the background, but that would help me sing and keep me on key. So, okay, but I really loved it, to be honest with you. I was getting attention, and it wasn't nasty attention, and it made me feel like, you know, like I was a little bit special, you know.
Sure.
So what I'm saying here, Bill, is, you know, is that kids...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
If you can find something, you know, maybe it is coloring, maybe it is drawing.
Well, I
maybe
just
something
throw out
about drawing.
A couple things. It's not a complete list. I was interested in the arts and so forth. I sang all my life because that instrument came with me. I didn't have to be handed something. You know, here's a cello or here's a
mm-hmm.
you know, a saxophone. No, the instrument of the voice comes with you, and I sang at every opportunity from as long as I can be. The point is that there are activities that if you tell a child they're appropriate, the child then feels free to do. It could be artwork, could be drawing. I used to do a lot of that, whatever it is.
Right.
So I was just trying to answer the question of the co-host there.
Mm-hmm. But that's good, though, Bill. You see, you brought out four different things there.
And
this is a hard time for everyone. So if they want to, you know, play hide-and-seek in the house, for God's sake, let them play hide-and-seek. All right? What's it going to hurt? If they want to, you know, you have to open up a little bit and let the kids be kids a little bit inside the house because they can't really go outside that much, okay? Everything is so crazy right now. So, but the parents, like Pamela had said, I think it was Pamela before had said, are so stressed out because there'd been, you know, there's homeschooling going on all over the place. And so the parents have to try and be teachers. This is not easy for people who are not teachers. And so then that stress level, which is what we're talking about tonight on this show, is how can we, you know, alleviate some of the stress? What can we do for ourselves in self-care? Yes, the adults can go take the bubble baths. You're right, Bill. The kids shouldn't. They might drown or something, whatever. But, you know, maybe sitting around as a family and reading together, you know, mom reading more books to the kids and getting involved that way. It's a very hard time for everyone. But I think the parents have to open up a little bit more inside their houses and outside of the schooling that they're forced to be put into, let the kids be kids, you know, so that they can have some fun together, so that they can, you know, relax. Because don't forget, they're just as stressed as you are, the parents. They're not allowed to go to school in certain areas. Now I think the schools are going to start opening up more. I'm hoping that they do. That's my personal opinion. And quite frankly, because the kids feel out of place, they're used to going to school. So if they can have free time in the house and just, you know, be able to play a little bit more and sit and draw and play music. Kids love to dance. They love to sing, too. You know, do more things like that. Be a little creative with your kids. I think that would be helpful. That's all I have to say to that.
So, Carol, I'm glad you mentioned about reading because adults can find comfort in reading poems, prayers, or inspirational stories, things that bring joy to them or make them feel peaceful.
Right.
And some people do find reading the Bible very good as well.
I think
That's something kids can have too, though, right? That's something kids can have too, not with Bibles and with, you know, heavy books, but with age-appropriate books. My mother was a librarian, and she used to go back and forth to the library with shopping bags full of books because each of the people in the family, meaning my father, my sister, and I, had different tastes, right? And she would try and select things that would appeal to us, my father being more grown-up stuff. But for me, she knew I liked mysteries and detective stories, so I read every Nancy Drew and every Hardy Boy, you know, and all the classic sleuth stories, including Sherlock Holmes and things like that. That really took me out of myself. It allowed me a space that was unique, occupied, thinking, you know, being creative. And I really love the concept of letting both parents and children, you know, have a space to read. You know, that really helps. Go ahead. Sorry. I heard you breathe.
Who breathed?
I heard somebody
breathe. We're all breathing. We all better be breathing. Well, I just read what you just said, Bill. I loved Nancy Drew. I used to sit and read that all the time. And that was peaceful time. You know, that was good time. First of all, I love Nancy Drew, so I figured, you know, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying this book that I'm reading. And I was very much a reader when I was a kid. So, you know, yeah, reading is a good topic on that, absolutely. And it's a good thing to think about.
Yeah.
And then, as you get a little older, it
gets away from Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys, and it gets into, you know, Sherlock Holmes and Agatha Christie. And you know, it gets a little more complicated as it goes on. But you still, it's the same style of book. And since my mother knew it, there were books coming and going, and stacks of them by each of our beds, you know. So
absolutely.
I think that was a good thing that was done for us.
When kids are younger, though, the parents can read. I remember Hans Christian Andersen. Do you remember that book? It was a big book.
Yes.
Yeah. And I do remember, my mother didn't read it to me, but other people would read things to me from the Hans Christian Andersen. And then the adventure books, like for boys, you know, when you get older and you get into, you know, with the Westerns and the other things and the things from those stages and ages of many, many, many years ago. I can't think of it. It's the Roman times when they had all those wild stories. I mean, yes, reading is a very good thing, but it won't be the only thing. You know, they have to have they have to get up and run around a little bit. Allow your kids to play hide and seek. Let them be, you know, children. And reading is a wonderful part of it. And let them also, too, get rid of that pent-up energy. Think about how much pent-up energy children have. If they can't run around the block or something or whatever, then they have to run somewhere. You know, let them run around. Let them be kids. I think people have to let up a little bit.
So, okay. One of the things that the adults can do, and children can do it as well, is funny videos. they can look mm-hmm. at videos or look at YouTube, educational stuff on YouTube, as well as adults can do the same thing, and it lightens up their day. And it, no matter what your mood is, your favorite video can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you know,
I'm so old,
I didn't even think of that.
mm-hmm. There you go.
I like to go back and YouTube and look for the old singers that have passed mm-hmm. away and listen to some of their old music, because that's music I understand, and I've
sure.
always understood it. But
sure.
some of the music today I don't understand. But I'm sure that the children understand some of the music of today.
Sure.
Well, you're talking to someone who loved the Beatles, all right? And I grew up with my kids with the Beatles, and we had a fantastic time. My son is a musician, and I sing, and my daughter, she wanted to play the drums, but I didn't want the drums in the house, I have to admit, okay? But, you know, like, I knew how she would be with the drums. But the point is, singing is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful release if you can. And dancing. So play music. And you know what? If you don't like the kids' music, now some of the music you have to say no to. At least I know they play it on the outside. But some of it is really, you know, downright nasty. Not that kind of music. But, you know, music that they can still, you know, accept, you know, and everyone can sing or they can run around and feel better. Again, we have to let loose in the house and let our children live. And,
yes.
It's, you know, it makes it easier. And you see, if they're not stressed out so badly because they feel like they're in a vacuum, for God's sake, they can't move. Plus the fact, don't think they don't know what's going on outside in the outside world. They hear the parents speak. The parents have the news on. They hear all these things that we hear, and they're frightened. They're frightened. And, you know, quite frankly, I let my grandchildren run around my yard. I let them run around my yard. I have a nice yard. Let them run around the yard and come into the house. Not with other, it's
yeah.
just my family.
Sure.
Okay. You know, because they yeah. have to get some fresh air, for God's sake. I think it's fresh. I don't know. Do any of us know? I don't know.
Well, don't worry, Carol. You're fresh enough to be around your house.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to read that sometimes for adults, chewing gum will take you out of a hectic situation and calm you down. Because it's repetitive motion, and it produces serotonin to the brain, which I hadn't even thought of.
That's right. I agree with that. In fact, I think I've heard that before, because you see your mind, your subconscious mind, your mental mind, your outward mind, is thinking about you chewing the gum, and it is repetitive. So that would get you away from your stress level, because your mind is actually thinking about you chewing the gum. That's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think that too many parents would like their children chewing gum now, because that means they might get cavities. So what could a child do, Pamela?
I don't see anything wrong with chewing gum. They have sugar-free gum, too. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Mm.
But, you know,
yeah.
just socializing would be good, you know, with other children. And they have indoor mountain climbing now. They have all kinds of things for children.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They do. Or just
right.
doing some old-fashioned roller skating.
Oh,
yeah.
I love roller skating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll take your mind off yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I have is relaxing with an audio device for listening to stories or listening to music or adding something to your smartphone or tablet, like meditational tapes or meditational things that people can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Any form of music or any form of meditation can relax the brain and would take you out of where you are and someplace else. And they suggest that you not listen to sad songs or songs that remind you of the difficult times in your life.
That's a good point. Very good point. The other thing that goes along with that, Thomasine, is that what you just said is that when parents watch the media, they need to watch what their children are seeing when they're coming through the room, right?
Right.
They don't
That's
need
right.
to be exposed to terrifying images and horrifying stories. You know how parents will get magnetized to the TV when a disaster happens? And these children don't know what's going on, and they're looking at this, and they're like, surely, you know, it affects them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And if they need to know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
Oh, okay. If they need to know, then they need to be talked to in a calm and age-appropriate way. Because they're literal thinkers. They're not abstract thinkers. You know, so if you use words like sick and a problem, you know, they're going to right away have those fears come up. Right?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts, one on the chewing gum and the other on the listening. On the chewing gum one, I remember being allowed certain kinds of foods without asking permission. And those would include things like nuts, like fruits, like yogurt, tuna fish, peanut butter, carrot sticks, celery sticks, things like that. I could go to the refrigerator and take any number of things out or into the cupboard, take any number of things out without asking permission. The other stuff I had to ask permission. But the point is that, you know, and this is true for adults too, if you put something in your stomach, you'll usually calm down. Now, you can take this to extremes. Don't buy quarts and quarts and quarts of ice cream because you'll end up heavy. But a carrot stick is never going to make you heavy, but it is going to fill you up, you know. And so those kinds of things are actually both good for parents and for kids in the house. And then the other stuff, as I say, in the house is definitely stuff, you know, that the parent plans for the meals. But there may be many things like that, you know, raisins, right? There's lots of things. Okay. Then the second thought was about the listening to stuff. I don't think you can encourage a child to meditate to, you know, the sound of whales or whatever it is. But what you can do, and we touched on this a little bit before, is encourage them to listen to music. The problem is the right kind of music. Well, I think the solution is that you let them have their own collection of music. We used to have what we call the hi-fi. Remember those?
Yes.
That was before stereo.
Mm-hmm.
That was before stereo. A hi-fi. And Jane and I, my sister and I, had our own collection of records. And they included some things that were kid-oriented, like the 45 of Davy Crockett. Remember that song? Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Yeah. And some 45s like that. But what they got us that were long playing were musicals. Now, musicals are pretty much, they cover the gamut of emotional stuff, of course, but they're pretty much about entertainment. They're not about teaching truth. They're not about you know, and you can sing along with them, and you can learn the lyrics, and you know the stories, and so forth. So we had not a lot, but at a certain point, we had maybe 8 long-playing records of different musicals from that era, which would have been, Oklahoma, and The Music Man, and things like that, and they were wonderful. Because there's really great music. It's classical music. It's stuff you might see on stage some other day, but, you know, so you're kind of learning too. But that's the kind of music that I would encourage kids to feel free to play your records. Now, we got into the Beatles, as Carol said, and that my parents were a little confused about that, but they let it go. So we eventually had Rubber Soul, and we had, you know, Help, and we had, you know... We had all the Beatle albums, too. My sister discovered them before I did, frankly. But they were innocent enough back then, I Want to Hold Your Hand, you know, to not upset my folks. And they let us have them in our collection, too. So the collection grew as we did. But we were already put on the right footing because they gave us record players and our own and a few albums. And, you know, kids will watch the same Barney episode over and over and over, right? And they do the same thing with records, especially if it's their record, you know. So I can sing Oklahoma from beginning to end, I'm pretty sure, and certainly Music Man because of it. But that's a good thing to give a kid. You know, give them a record collection of the kinds of things you want them to learn about. And they'll be thrilled with it. It's their thing. You know, their record player, their albums, their, you know, maybe it's a different format today. I would suspect, of course, but anyway, there you go, Thomasina. There's a suggestion about both the chewing gum and the easy listening.
Well, thank you, and you made me remember that my first child care provider used to play My Fair Lady.
That's right. Right.
Yes. And it's very interesting.
Very innocent. Yes, South Pacific. All those from that era, they're so innocent, but they're so colorful. There's a lot said.
They are.
You know, and a lot of harmony and a lot of different band styles and all kinds of things that are really educational as well as entertaining to the child.
Yes, it is.
And Peter Pan, too. Remember Peter Pan? Oh, my God. I remember all that, too. I'm thinking back now, way back. But even if of the more popular, newer stuff, like the Beatles, that's easy and that's good and that's clean, like you said, Bill. Because after that, we got into the heavy metal. And we did get heavy into heavy metal. I did, too, okay? I went right along with my kids because we played places. They used to have the Battle of the Bands in high school, and my son was in high school. And that was heavy metal. And he won. His group won. That was good. And so, you see, there are things, though. You don't have to get into that kind of music with your younger children, okay? But things like, you know, like what we were just talking about, that does broaden their minds a little bit, and it's so easy going. That would be sort of like, I could see that actually being, calming to them. You know, and like Peter Pan, like I mentioned, you know, it would be calming to them. And it's, but, you know, we have to find something. We have to. Because we don't know how much longer this pandemic is going to get on. We have no idea. I call it pandemic. I call it play. I call it a lot of different things, which I won't say on air. But anyway, the point is this. We don't have any time that we know when it's going to end. So what we have to do, you have to realize, too, that with teenagers, they're starting to cut themselves more now. I was reading a whole bunch of articles today. And that's gone way up. And ODing, okay, has gone way up with the teenagers I'm speaking about now. You have to be careful. And also, too, my God, the fentanyl, that was actually last month. I had read things about that. Fentanyl. And in California, there's a tremendous amount of drug. San Diego, I was reading about today, with the methamphetamine, all that other stuff, and heroin. Okay, heroin and coke, just, you know, all these things. And so many teenagers are committing suicide. And then you have the ones that are the 12-year-old range. And they get a hold of pills, like in the house, okay? I thought they'd taken more opiates off, yeah. I thought they'd taken more opiates off the market and so forth, but there are, you know, some other pills that they get into. And they don't die, but they're you know, there's a lot of that going on. And they get very sick, and they're taken to the hospital. And they get their stomachs pumped. So this is how it's affecting our children. So this is why it's very, very, very important that we find something in the house that makes the kids wake up, open their eyes, and say, today's a new day. Today's a new day. And something to look forward to in the house. Now, someone might say, well, that puts even more stress on the parents to try and think of ways to find creativity, okay? But a lot of, look, get a whole bunch of paper for the kids. Get the, for the younger ones, you know, the scissors that they can use, the children can use the scissors, the special scissors. And let them make things, get glue. Give them projects, you know, projects to do in the house. Kids love to do that. Arts and crafts is what I'm talking about. Things like that. And so that the kids have something to look forward to. It doesn't have to be every single day. Maybe one day be quiet day. Watch the videos, like I think, Doug, you had said that. Watch the videos. And then another day, maybe arts and crafts. And another day, free-for-all. Go ahead, play hide-and-seek, you know. And just so that the kids can have some joy. Because if they don't have joy, and we don't know how much longer this is going on, but those who are borderline, you know, with depression anyway, those are the ones that are turning to the drugs, and those are the ones that are cutting. They're very, very frightened. And the stats on that has gone way up with the self-harm, as they put it under, the self-harm. So
well,
those that have older kids, watch them.
Yeah, Hilda was trying, I think, as I understood it, to keep us in the solution tonight, okay? So we're not saying that a child who starts with some of these more innocent activities won't end up a street kid. We don't know that. But we are talking about what you can do with a child that makes it less likely. And so, you know, some will become drug addicts and some will become this and some will become that. But in the meantime, all of them are going to be children. And they need activities that are healthy. And she was trying to get us to talk about that tonight, I think, rather than any of the problems that can come along. So this is where I focused my – maybe I got it wrong, Hilda. I don't know. But that was where I focused my comments on kind of being in the solution with our kids. And, of course, it all comes down to trusting dad and mom. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, we want our children to come to us. We constantly are telling them that, hopefully, that there's nothing they can say that will, you know, that they can't say, right? That I will always love them no matter what. That I will always help them no matter what. And that if I don't know how to help them, I'll find someone that can. And that kind of language, you know, goes along through their whole childhood in the hopes that we can prevent, you know, more and more kids from ending up as victims of child abuse and trauma. So this is what I thought that Hilda Thomasine was trying to do. But anyway.
Yes.
Well, I think we covered a lot of different topics, that's all. And what's happening today, too, needs to be addressed, too, because we have people that are listening that should know and watch for signs, you know, with their teenagers. It's important. But we've covered self-care, you know, and I think we came up with a whole bunch of things, like for the kids, you know, to, you know, as we were speaking and putting our heads together to, you know, let them be kids, you know. Go ahead. I think Thomasine was trying to say. Yeah.
No, that was
not.
I'm sorry.
That was, no, that wasn't me, honey. That was you.
Pamela? Me? Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Cool. And I was just talking, you know, before about emotions, children's emotions. And the other thing about keeping children's emotions is that they should be able to cry. Now, when I was a child, I was not allowed to cry. I'd get the belt from my abuser, and he wouldn't allow me to cry afterwards. So, I mean, that was just horrible. I mean, we weren't allowed to have feelings, right? Me and my sisters. He was a monster. And
that's a really
know,
good one. That's a really good one. I like that now.
So we need to, as parents, we need to let our children cry if they want to cry. And we don't absolutely have to know the reason why they're crying. I mean, it's,
right.
You know, we're emotional people. And we need to give permission to the child's range of feelings, whatever that range of feelings is, because
right.
then they'll trust us, you know. Children learn to balance and their emotions and handle their emotions when they can cry. I just, you know, I just think that's good for children to be able to do. And, you know, other things that we can do to help children, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, food, drink, entertainment, cuddly toys, you know, all these great things that children can do. But we've got to remember about their emotions.
No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying is it begins and ends with the admonition that there will be nothing that they can bring me. Now, the emotional stuff is really important to talk about, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's not just a matter of crying. It's a matter of exploring all emotion. You know, children
mm-hmm.
are confused by emotion, and sometimes they just need to talk stuff out. And that, again, can be done by invitation by the parent. You know, if you're sad, if you're angry, if you're hurt, if you're bullied, right? I mean, whatever emotional state comes out of your experiences, you can bring it to mom and dad.
Right.
And that is, now, of course, including crying. And by the way, including touching. I mean, I was not hugged very much. You know, I was not caressed very much. My mother's way of, she gave me a kiss every now and then, but her way of telling me I'd done good is to pat me on the head. And I mean pat, 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 like a dog. And it wasn't satisfying, I can tell you that.
I'm sorry for laughing, but I can picture that. All right, go ahead.
It's true. Right, Carol? It's true. And
yeah,
you know
well, I didn't get patted on the head. I got kicked in the butt, but go on. Go ahead.
Well, my parents were patted, you know, where they didn't know how important it is to hug, probably not even each other, I'm guessing, because I didn't see a lot of that either. But I'm just saying that when I realized that I had a need, I went out of my way to hug them. I went out of my way to hug them by way of almost teaching them that hugging was okay. And by the way, I need some. And so I would go in, I would go to them and I would pull them to me. And I got a few hugs that way. My father was shocked that I would do that to him. The first few times he was stiff as a board, but you know, it came time that he began to expect that I might do that. And there's nothing wrong with that is the point, but he didn't know that. In fact, there's everything right about it, is I guess what I'm saying. You know, the physical encounter with the parent is really, really important, just like the emotional encounter with the parent is really, really important. And so I would say include in this discussion we're having, Thomasine, the contact, the hugs and kisses and the caresses, you know, or the just touching of the arm of our folks. And, you know, it means a lot.
It does.
Well, I understand that, but when I grew up, it was very confusing because you were told you were hugged and then you were beaten. Or you were beaten and then hugged.
Right.
And you didn't understand why.
Right.
What did I do now?
Right.
Or what I didn't do. What was it I didn't do? So, yes,
right.
If I had had children, I think that I would have been a loving mother.
Well, that's what
I did
saying.
Not.
We're, we're talking about healthy related mm-hmm. to each other, kids and parents. We're not talking about those parents who are abusive are not going to take our advice. They're going to be abusive. But we're
yes,
talking
right.
about you know, how to approach your when you start having children, how to approach having a child in a more healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
It's hard for her though. I mean, I have her bio in front of me. I understand what you're saying exactly, and but in homes where, and I hope this certainly outweighs the ones that aren't healthy. Okay. But in homes that are healthy, all the things that we spoke about, you know, tonight, you know, with the listening to the music or the reading or the storytelling, very important with the storytelling, you know, letting kids be kids, letting them, they can run around your yard. Come on now. Or put a mask on if you want. Okay, whatever. But run around the yard. And, you know, they have to have a little more freedom. Because if they don't have freedom, then they're just going to get even more stressed than what they already feel, you know, and that makes it even harder for the parents then to try and calm them down and make them feel better. So I think the household has to change a little bit is what I'm saying. You know, a lot of times you'll have people who are meticulous. And, oh, my God, God forbid if there's a piece of paper on the floor, oh, my God, you know. No. This isn't the time to worry about the piece of paper. Now's the time to worry about your child. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And you know, so just let things be a little bit more freer in the house. So if the child does feel stress, you know, let them, you know, have a little, yes, quiet time. Let them have play time. Let them have creative time. Let them listen to the music. Let them watch the videos like Doug was talking about. And the things we were speaking about, let them do that, because if ever they need it, it's now. And as far as the padding on the head, you made me laugh because I could see them doing that to the dog and, you know, yeah. things like that. But there isn't enough padding on the head at times. It, you know, it doesn't have to – kids don't always want to be hugged. Maybe it makes them feel weird. I don't know. I never had hugs either. So, but what I'm saying is that – but, the, you know, just like you said, Bill, also putting your hand on the kid's shoulder and say, hey, I love you. You know, give the kid, right. let them know. Let them know that you love them. Because so often, like in homes like a lot of us from NASCA have grown up in, we were never told that we were loved and we were not hugged. And we didn't have that same type of home life that other children came from that we would admire. Because we knew that they came from proper homes. Okay.
Right. And furthermore, Carol, so, let me make one final point, and then I'll be quiet and finish the show with Hilda. But we're saying this out of our own experience that we did not get a lot of these things. And mm-hmm. we know how it felt to not get these kinds of things. And so we're saying to the young people that are out there listening tonight, when you're bringing up a family, these are things we recommend giving your kid, the space to give your kid, the activities to give your kid, the permission to give your kid, and so forth. These were missing in many of our lives as children, and it resulted in at least our being susceptible to trauma later. But now we know better because we didn't get them, and we've studied this issue. The healthy kid is the one that gets what we were talking about today more often. And the unhealthy one is deprived of it. So that's the point of tonight's show. And it was a great show, by the way, Hilda. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Pamela, as well. And thank Carol, you. Too.
Okay, thank you.
So
I end the show, Bill? Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to say
my clock is 5 minutes off on my computer. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was glad to be able to give some insight to adults who are struggling and
don't know what to do with their emotions and have a positive feedback as opposed to doing something negative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
May I say something?
I think we did that pretty well, actually. You know, I think we covered a lot of areas. You know, I think we did.
Who was that, Peter?
Yeah, could I say something?
Go ahead.
Briefly. Yeah.
I've been enjoying this listening. It's been quite interesting and knowing how things should work. And we had a discussion today in recovery group this afternoon, and I still like touched bases in regards to certain areas where, whether it's the pandemic or it's not the pandemic, that more alertness that should be aware of.
And
I was pretty much given a bit of the appraisal how I came up with it, because in everyday life, I'm sure some of you guys were too, that we were brought into adult affairs. And when you're brought into, I've heard this from Dr. Phil saying that the one thing that parents should never do is bring children into adult affairs, because it can ruin their lives, whether it's going to school, high school, whatever. It will damage them. And all I can say, if there are parents out there that's listening to this show, is that be mindful if you're having little tiffs with your spouse or your partner, whoever it might be. You know, I think it should be done behind closed doors so that your children aren't listening, because it doesn't take much for one child just to get that little tiny hearing going, and it does have that effect, and it's a real crying shame that parents will allow their children to be in adult affairs. If that's
right.
If that's any sense to anybody that's on the panel tonight, because
well said, well said, Peter. Well said. We only have I don't even know if we have any time left, because my clock is off. What you said is what you said is absolutely right. If you're going to fight, go outside, okay? Keep it away from the kids. Because quite frankly, yes, that does ruin kids' lives. It can certainly change their views on what life should be, and that's very bad. But I have to wrap this show up, okay? We covered a lot of areas tonight, and so it's about self-care, and it's also about watching your children and letting your children be children, all kinds of things that we covered. And we don't know when this pandemic is going to be over, but we do know that we have a show 5 nights a week here, okay, NASCA. And we have Stop Child Abuse show here. And, tomorrow we're going to have a guest on. And I won't be here tomorrow. I have a doctor's appointment. But Thursday we have another person that's going to be coming on. I think she, too, is an MD. I'm not sure. And Friday we have a guest that's coming on, and I will be interviewing that guest on Friday. And please, for God's sake, look at NASCA's website, NASCA.org, NASCA.org. Go to the red lines and look down at everything that you see there, and you will see all different kinds of topics, from programs over, yes, about children and how to do prevention, intervention, and recovery, which is so, so, so important. Get acquainted with the website, because it's a very good one. I use it when I do presentations. Huh, who's going to do that again? I don't know. We have to get over this pandemic. But the point is, it's very good. It has a lot of knowledge in it. Okay? So, okay. Good night now, everyone. And God bless all of you. And God bless the children. And let's hope that 6 months from now is different. I'll say 6 months. Good night and God bless.
Thank you.
God bless
you. You're welcome. God bless you too.
Gone with you. You are forgotten after all. Talk Radio.